Advocates for homeless people have been working hard for years in Eugene to find safe places for people to sleep when they do not have regular roofs over their heads. Now the faces and stories of homeless people are getting some attention in Eugene through the Dignity Project. It has two components, a short documentary film and still pictures. We have some audio clips from the film to share with you as we go through, along with the thoughts of some of the organizers. Those are Eric DeBurr, who's the Executive Director at Community Supported Shelters, or CSS. Eric, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks.
Good to have you here. Paula Goodbar is with us as well. She's a board member at CSS, the producer of the Dignity Project, and the director of the Emerald Art Center. So a few hats there for Paula Goodbar. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, Eric, tell us first off about CSS. You've been busy for quite a few years now, and just give us in a nutshell description of what you've been up to.
Well, we started off making a small modular shelter called the Conestoga Hut. That's where we started. And then we saw really quickly that we weren't going to find enough places to really meet the need sufficiently for our needs. And so we created then, in partnership with the city, a pilot program called the Rest Stop. Rest Stop is sort of a vague term, so...
You prefer safe spots, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, we call them safe spots because it's much more descriptive. And that's where we put a lot of our energy now. We manage three of those with in between 15 and 20 people each. And there we can kind of work with the culture of homelessness, and we work to nurture a sort of an environment where people are celebrating people's successes on pulling themselves out of their situation. So I would say that's community supported shelters in a nutshell. At the safe spots, there's some Conestoga huts, but mostly people have platforms with covers over them and then small tents. We don't allow people to go over a 7x7 tent.
All right, so there's a difference in the kinds of accoutrements you can have at whether it's the safe spots or Opportunity Village.
Yeah, so yeah, Opportunity Village is a different program where they provide small kind of tiny houses, and on site there they have access to a bathroom and a shower and a kind of a common space that has internet. In community supported shelters programs, we have a philosophy of not making people stable but not making people too comfortable, because we want them to strive towards reaching permanent housing somewhere in the community, wherever, you know, whatever is best fit for the individual client. But you know, making them comfortable, but not too comfortable, where they want to stay for a long time. Since the beginning of 2014 to now, we've helped 62 people move on to a better situation than camping in one of the safe spots.
Is it so? There must be quite an extensive series of connections between all the various agencies, and I mean government agencies and non-governmental organizations and everything else that is attuned to the project, the issues of homelessness, rather.
Yeah. We work with a lot of different social agencies. We work very closely right now with the VA. We have one of our safe spots is specifically for veterans, and so it's an immediate form of shelter that the VA, the local VA, can utilize in working with some of the chronically homeless veterans. You know, there's usually no waiting list. We have had one waiting list for that camp at one point in time, but it was no near the waiting list that they're having to face out in the rest of the community with getting people into more permanent housing situations. So it's instant shelter for these guys.
All right, and instant access for the VA, for that matter, too, to be able to locate them and try to help them with services.
Yeah, the VA goes down there on almost every other day, you know, staying in contact with the veterans that they're working with.
So, Paula Goodbar, tell us about the birth of the Dignity Project, how the idea first emerged and what you did with it from there.
Well, I've been interested in this other project called the Inside Out Project, and that's where you take photographs, portraits, basic black and white portraits of people in order to create awareness for certain causes. And it's a global art project by the famous artist J.R. He's more known in Europe and the UK. But I knew that I was going to do something for the Inside Out project at some point in time. And we had an area called Whoville that was close to the university for a few months. And I was driving to work one day, and I noticed they were shutting it down, and there was an extremely heavy police force there. And I got very disturbed by the situation. I thought, this isn't fair. It just was a very sad, sad experience. And I've known Faye and Eric for a long time with CSS. In fact, it's just down the street from where I live. And I knew I wanted to be involved somehow as an advocate. So I went down there and talked with them and became a board member. So the culmination just kind of, it all came together. I was at my first board meeting, and we had two campers there that were giving reports on the safe spots. They were the camp managers. Mm-hmm. And one was talking about how people drive by and yell out their windows, honk at them, and yell, get a job, you bum. And he sat there and he said, you know, we just want to get our stories told. We want our stories to be told. We've had jobs. We've had families. You know, we're just like you and I. I mean, we're all the same. And so I raised my hand. It was like I was back in school. I was raising my hand, waving like a mad woman, going, I can do that. I can do that. And I knew I was going to kind of bump it up with the Inside Out project. So it started as that, with the black and white portraits. And those, I enlisted the help of photographer friends of mine, because I didn't want to do the photography. I wanted to do interviews. And I thought, no, I want to sit down with everybody and get to know them and have that one-on-one connection and really hear them and see them for who they are. And that's how that was born. I have a knack of putting people together to do these things, and we all work together, all volunteers. We funded it all ourselves, and it all came together.
We're talking about the Dignity Project, which is a documentary film with homeless people in Eugene and still portraits of their faces as well. Paula Goodbar is the producer, the director of the Emerald Arts Center, and a board member at CSS Community Supported Shelters. Eric DeBurr, the executive director at CSS, is with us as well. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area, 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. And we've been talking about the Dignity Project. Let's hear one of the portions of the documentary on Button 5.
You know, I would like to see a world where nobody is required to spend their whole life or a huge chunk of their life living someplace where it's hard to sleep.
And you know what, homeless people, the one thing that nobody else has to do other than homeless people, we get to endure everything. All of the sound, all of the wind, all of the rain, all of the snow, all of the smells, all of the smog, all of barometric pressure changes, all of the concrete, all of the bars, steel. All these things have an effect on your life. And if you entertain them at all times, it hurts you physically, mentally, and I believe spiritually. It hurts you.
That's a clip from the Dignity Project. We're talking to Paula Goodbar and Eric DeBurr from Community Supported Shelters. Tell us about the approach here, Paula, and how you sought out the people, and what questions did you ask, if any? It seems like a lot of these people, you probably just give them a chance to say something, and they'd probably just go.
That was kind of the situation. They did devise, I think, about six questions. And Eric was a big help. He would go into the camps before our scheduled day, and so that they were forewarned that we were coming, and whoever wanted to participate could participate. We wanted to do it at their homes, where they're comfortable in their situations. We kept the sound as it was. We kept the lighting as it was in most cases. We wanted everyone to experience what the unhoused are experiencing on a daily basis. And we knew it wasn't going to be perfect. It was going to be a little bit raw, and that's what I wanted. So they knew we were coming. And Jana was our videographer, and she has already built a rapport with several of the campers through the Occupy movement. And she had graciously volunteered to document it all as we were there photographing for the Inside Out project. And that's why we wanted to do the documentary. We're already there, so let's ask questions. And they knew, these were such brave people, because I can't even imagine. The first day was, we didn't know what we were walking into. We were nervous about it all. We didn't know what to expect. And it was quite a lovely experience, actually. And the subject would sit there with four cameras trained right on them. There were actually five cameras. And clicking away, they didn't know who we were. They didn't know what was really happening other than, yeah, okay, they're going to get their picture taken, and they get to talk a little bit about what they're doing. My questions were about, where were they 5 to 10 years ago? I would let them talk a little bit first to get to know them, and what their hopes and dreams were at that time in their lives, and then what are their hopes and dreams now. We were prepared for negative answers, for hopelessness and not having hopes and dreams, because we had talked about it when we were preparing for it. And we were pleasantly surprised that 99% had hopes and dreams of what their future was. They had a future. They believed that they were going to have a future, that the housing, the safe spots, was helping them move toward their future. The first message off the first camp was love one another. Everyone we talked to would tell us, well, you know, you just have to take care of each other. You have to love one another. And when we left, some of us were in tears because we were so touched. We were touched very deeply by their hope, by their dreams, and by their compassion for one another, because they had built a community. They had built a family, and that's what really touched us. And sometimes I didn't have to ask questions. I would just say, okay, tell us your story. I would try to get words of wisdom, and everybody did have something to say along those lines. And that was where the love one another came up.
Not everybody's totally happy here, though, either, though. And in fact, let me play another clip here, because we'll play this one off button three. I'll warn listeners, the language is a little strong, but you get a real sense of what people are experiencing out here from the Dignity Project.
The other thing is we have to dispel this stereotype that everyone is crazy, everyone's drunk, it's all their fault. Stop with this goddamn capitalistic, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Yeah, I did pull myself up. I tried to pull myself up by my bootstraps, but the goddamn boots were made in China, and the stitches came out.
So a real mixture of stuff then, the Dignity Project. I mean, you know, a sense of
definitely.
Humor, but some anger about the situation.
There was quite a bit of anger, but they would move past it, and that's what was fascinating. Because we had 6 hours of footage, so not everything was left in, and we had the points that we wanted to make. But they did end up, all of their interviews, except for one person that we interviewed, had hope. And that's what was truly amazing.
But so one person was fairly resigned to a fairly bleak future, you're saying?
I don't think she could see beyond her past, if that makes sense. She was just, some people need counseling and do need other services. And unfortunately, she fell into that category. And we all wanted to help, but there wasn't anything. It's one of those cases where you have to help yourself.
We're talking about the Dignity Project, which documents homeless people in Eugene, both in a short documentary film that you're hearing some clips from and in some still photography as well. Paula Goodbar is the producer of it. She's a board member at Community Supported Shelters and director of the Emerald Art Center. Eric DeBurr is executive director at Community Supported Shelters, also on the line with us. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions and comments welcome. If you have stories of your own you'd like to share, please join in at 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So, Eric, where do you go from here? This is already premiered, but who's the intended audience here?
Well, I guess anybody who's got curiosity about something that they've never seen up close and personal, you know. I mean, most people drive by homeless people. They don't spend time sitting down with them, and that's, I think, the intent behind this is to help break down those barriers. I mean, I've met a lot of people in the community who sometimes have not visited a project except for online where they feel safe. So it's really to reach out to anybody who's at all ever been interested in who somebody is, you know, behind the sign or behind the, you know, the scruffy look, you know.
And the premiere was last weekend, is that right, Paulie? Had a screening on Saturday?
Yes, it was on Saturday night.
And what was the reaction? What was the reception like?
I think it was very well received. It was hard to tell because everybody just kind of ran out afterwards, or almost everyone. It was kind of a long evening. But
The issue with the events is always that, you know, we want the sort of the doubters and the naysayers and the NIMBYs to be there, and you can't really get them to come to an event either. So maybe, you know, as we talk about how this is going to be made available, you know, some people that maybe that don't have any compassion will learn to have a little compassion by watching the video in however we make it available.
All right, let's take a call here from Randolph in Pleasant Hill. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
How you guys doing? This is a great project you got going. You know where Pleasant Hill is. I live right outside Eugene. So I've seen the homelessness problem there for years. And one thing I like to say is Jesus said the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he also said that that the poor were put here to confound the world. And as you can see, that is happening almost everywhere you look, like he was just saying. People don't know what to do about homelessness. And it's just kind of, I've been homeless, and I think the big issue is, unless you've been there, you know, you can't walk a mile in the other person's shoes. And that's a huge issue. Unless you've experienced it, you really don't care, is what I've seen in the world. And I have a song about homelessness, but it's just short and sweet. And it's, can you hear him crying out on the street, nowhere to go, nobody to meet? Can you hear him crying out on the street, no house to call a home, no food to eat? Can you hear him crying out on the street, no shirt on their back, no shoes on their feet? Can you hear him crying out on the street, just scraping by, trying to make ends meet? Can you hear it? Well, and then there's the music in it, right, but anyway, that's how the song goes. Then can you hear him crying out on the street? What will you say when your eyes meet? Will you say hello and give him a buck, or not even think of him in your heart of hearts to say good luck? Can you hear him crying out on the street? It's like Dr. Winston O'Boogie said, better recognize your brothers and your sisters, everybody you meet. And thank you, and continue your great work.
All right. Thanks for that, Randolph. Appreciate it. Thanks for sharing this song with us. So that raises the question then, Paula Goodbar, what do people do with the knowledge they gain from taking a look at the Dignity Project, either the documentary film or the still pictures or both?
Well, what I'm really hoping to do is to create some amount of change with the thought process. The unhoused are in the shadows, and just like what Randolph was singing about, it's like they're not there. And when we did the posters are like 3 by 5 feet big, and it's their faces. And I wanted it to be in the faces of people that walk by others and don't want to look up, don't want to acknowledge their presence, that they're there. Because it is part of our community. You can't just ignore another human being and keep going. thinking, well, I've got my life to live. I've got this to do. I've got that to do.
And where are the posters mounted, Paula?
They are at the corner of, what is it, 7th and Jefferson.
Jefferson or Washington.
It's at the Salvation Army. They were kind enough. We were looking all over for a place to post them, and it needed to be in a highly visible place, and I thought that was perfect. And they were very excited about it as well. So it worked out beautifully. And we have these posters up there, and we also have an art truck, what I'm calling the art truck for CSS. And Eric made these wonderful boards and posted up, I think, 5 of them. And when we go out different places, like the First Friday Art Walk in Eugene, we parked it at a place so that people would see it. And that was funny because I stood there for a while and observed, and it was almost as if the people were there themselves, because a lot of people were afraid to look up and see.
Just passed right by.
These faces. Mm-hmm.
So is there a public viewing site online for the documentary? Or plans for
one? No, not at this time.
Not at this time. Okay. So if you get one, would you send us the link to that, and we'll make sure we link to it from our website and Facebook page?
Definitely.
All right. Paula Goodbar is a board member at CSS Community Supported Shelters, producer of the Dignity Project, and director of the Emerald Arts Center. Eric DeBurr is the executive director at CSS. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having us.
All right. Take care.